Welcome to the broadcast of Sharper Iron. This broadcast features news and ideas designed to convey a Christian worldview.
My name is Jason Jans, and I'm here in the office of Dr. Sam Harbin, the new president of Calvary Baptist Theological Seminary. Sitting next to him is Dr. Dave Burgraff, who is the former president here and is now making the transition to Clearwater Christian College as the Vice President of Spiritual Formation. We are here at Calvary Seminary at the Leadership Conference. And also in the room with us, I'll have them each introduce themselves, are several other bloggers, and we're going to have an interview here with Dave and Sam. So why don't, Joel, you start? Sure.
Joel Tetro, Senior Pastor of Southeast Valley Baptist Church. Been with SI for almost a year, and we're thrilled to be here.
Tom Pride, pastor at Perium Baptist Church, and I have the blog Neo Fundamentals. Been participating with SI for about a year.
I'm Bob Bixby, pastor at Morning Star Baptist Church in Rockford, Illinois, and my blog is Pensee, not Pensies, as Jans has thought.
Greg Linscott, pastor at Faith Baptist Church in Skowhegan, Maine, and forum director with Sharper Iron.
Great. Well, Dr. Burgraff, you'll be first. My question to you is, obviously you've been here for 15 years and you're moving on. Explain to us how God led you to that transition.
The transition really came about quite quickly. Using the simple analogy, oftentimes when someone talks about making a change in ministry, a push and a pull. That's the old one that Dr. Jordan used to use. You need to feel a calling of another ministry and at the same time sense something going on in the current ministry that really is an indication from the Lord that maybe this is the right time. And in my case, what had been happening started already having been here since 1991 as the dean. And then in 2001, we shifted to a presidency after 10 years. And then from 2001 to 2006, serving as a president. And what we set out to do in some of the goals of the presidency, we saw achieved in a four-year plan. And the realization of that. But what I was finding is that the seminary president's ministry is, and actually as the Association of Theological Schools in North America and Canada had written an article and published it on what the role of a president was, and it was about 2 years ago that I pored through that article in detail. And I often joke about it, but my handshake looks like the cupped hand of fundraising. And essentially, that is the last quarter century function. I wouldn't say the main, but it is a premier function of a president. And congratulations, Sam. But and what had happened in the last couple of years is as I started looking at goals that we had set out along the way, goals were being achieved and many of those in place, while at the same time I was starting to find myself becoming more and more distanced. As those goals have to be realized, the amount of time spent on them was taking me further away from students, one, the classroom, two. I don't mean to scare you off, Sam, but that's what happened.
He's already signed
the contract. Yeah, he's in deep. And, but what I found that some of the passions that had been the fuel of my life in ministry were now starting to be taken in a different direction. And that became significant to me, thinking, okay, if this is what I've done for the last 15 years, and I really feel effective ministry, I probably have 15 more. And so always I've followed a pattern laid out by Robert Dick Wilson years ago on dividing his life into trimesters. And as I looked at that, I said, for the next 15 years, might the Lord use me now in something a little bit different than he has been using me. Not that seminaries can't make an impact. Maybe seminaries make the greatest impact. But maybe it's just being used in another area of the vineyard, and that's what I'm doing.
So what excited you about the potential at Clearwater?
Well, first of all, this morning in a workshop, you stood up and said, spiritual formation, whatever that is, okay? So,
is it a unique title?
No. Maybe to people like you who've never heard it before.
I've never heard it before. before.
Well, you're going to get a lesson in it real fast. But let me talk about two things. One, the institution, and then number two, myself. Okay, the position that I'm occupying. Not necessarily me, but the position. We've been involved as a seminary with Clearwater way back since 1991, going down recruiting and working with the school. It has not been one of the great feeders of a student body at Calvary Baptist Seminary, mainly because we'd been cultivating the Bible colleges. But we set out as a goal years ago that we were trying to reach all the schools and try to see students coming to the student body from all those schools. But Clearwater holds a unique place. Now, I know there are other Christian liberal arts colleges and universities in our movement, and yes and no, but as an accredited liberal arts college, where it probably boasts, and I may get in trouble for this, but I can prove it statistically, that they probably have the highest percentages of terminal degrees to student ratio, meaning offering a great education for the dollar. I do not know that there is a school that can do the job better than Clearwater Christian.
They were regularly published in USA World Report, yeah, wasn't it?
As a great buy for the money. And I know, and they do that, and I know my youngest son, Nathan, is in the premier school in music in the United States of America. I got in out of the program they had there. We see it in med school, law school, professional schools. They're sending students on to the most elite grad programs in this country to get the job done.
How many students are at Clearwater?
Just under 600 right now.
Okay, and how many are ministerial students?
Of that, I think about 10% of the student body is.
Okay.
So what you have there is a perfectly set opportunity to create then a liberal arts school, and as we grow the Bible department, Bible faculty even larger, what you're going to see, and the intent is to have students who come out in whatever field of liberal arts able to integrate the Word of God into that discipline. So that's what we're setting out to do. And in other words, then, do your discipline and really understand how the Word of God, all truth is God's truth integration, but in this particular discipline.
So what is your role then as the Vice President of Spiritual Formation?
And that's not the only title. It goes on. It's got a conjunction in there. Vice President of Spiritual Formation and Ministry Development, all right.
What is that?
Well, okay. Spiritual Formation... Yeah, no more cupped hands, Sam. All right.
Development is a bad word.
No, when you talk ministry development, it's talking about relating to local. One of the things that we're going to do, whether it's mentoring and working, we're really building relations with local churches, because mainly we're trying to re-emphasize and emphasize the local church connectivity of students in their lives. Mentoring under pastors, mentoring in churches, etc. Spiritual formation. Years ago, we used to use the word oftentimes discipleship. Discipleship, though it is a wonderful term, has become one shop-worn, and also within whatever context you're using it. If it's a liberal context, discipleship means how to understand the social gospel. If in many of our circles, you really have someone discipled well when now they are tithing, soul-winning, etc. And that, I call that church-ship. Okay, so we've taught them how to do the programs. That's not what discipleship mm-hmm. ought to have been. Spiritual formation is simply the word character formation. Okay, everybody gets a spiritual formation. You have one, just like your education. You get one, okay? You develop spiritually and form your character. You lead someone to the Lord, and what you end up doing half the time in discipling them is recharacterizing them. But what character do we teach them to become like? Well, as we grow them and help them understand more and more what the Word of God has to say on this, they take on the character, and we pray it all the time. They become conformed more to the image of Christ. It's character formation to become more Christ-like. Okay,
so
spiritual formation.
I mean, I think all colleges would probably say they do that. Mm-hmm. You know, how are you going to implement that at Clearwater?
Well, it's in many areas. We're doing things in a variety of ways we want to do that. One is first of all, as we start doing I oversee spiritual formation. That means you work with faculty and you work with students simultaneously. because some aspects of spiritual formation already faculty will jump on board and say, we saw this as we did the statistic, has anyone ever discipled you? Mm-hmm. Most of the young people we surveyed said, what, 70-some percent?
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm. And so it's working to do that. And
are you saying you're going to get faculty to disciple students?
That's one aspect of it.
Okay.
But it can be everything from, for instance, in most of the Bible colleges and in our schools, one of the things that we've never, ever done, in other words, just for a moment, just talking about not only the classes, but just talk about a chapel, okay? What's the purpose of a chapel in a Bible college or in our chapel? What do we do chapel for? What do we do it for? We will lay. If you're going to be a math major, there's a scope and sequence for getting your degree, to learn how to be a mathematician. There's a scope and sequence to learn how to be a Bible major. Okay, what do we do with chapel over these 4 years?
Get as many pastors in as you can to send more students.
Sure, get these pastors in. And this is the church.
Messages.
Not around our school.
But we sit down. We're sitting here talking about, let's lay out a scope and sequence to a 3 or a 4 year chapel program. In other words, what 20 to 40 different things should be covered in this development, from integrity to whatever it is in this person's life. Okay, now what that might mean is you might have some less chapel speakers in, or you're going to assign off to some of the men in this room. Would you come down and preach a series dealing with this area? But there's going to be a curriculum, and so I hate to use the word curriculum, or students will feel like I'm, that chapel's just one more class I have to go to. But pardon the yawn part of that, but the point is that chapel ought to be exciting, but when I go to this is going to be a spiritual formation aspect of my life with a scope and sequence. There's a purpose to it.
Hey, Joel Tetro here. Dave, how do you feel your time as dean and then president at a theological seminary, how has that uniquely prepared you for your new role at Clearwater?
Well, it's a really good question. Number one, I would think first and foremost, to teach on the seminary level, one of the requirements that we had here when we hired profs, first, not only academically qualified, but they were churchmen. By that I meant this, local churchmen, in the sense that either they had pastored, they were involved in church ministry, etc. We can go through all that, but put it in this. They thought if you're training pastors, you cannot train men to be pastors unless you know how to think like a pastor. Mm-hmm. My role at the school, and that's that other aspect of ministry development, is to try to work and inculcate into these students to think church, local church. In other words, that working in the body of Christ, and our church is a local expression of that. Mm-hmm. And so what I am bringing to that is a pastoral perspective. In the years of the seminary, it's not pastoral experience, but the training of what goes into molding a minister.
Well, the follow-up question is, and we don't need to go too deep or too long here, but philosophically, what's the challenge of the difference that might exist at the foundation level philosophically of a theological seminary or a Bible college versus a theological emphasis or the type of ministry leadership you're going to give in a liberal arts school? What's the differences? Maybe there's not a real difference. Maybe there is a real difference.
Well, I can try to answer it. You said, not to make it lengthy, I don't know that I can do anything short other than my height. But one of the things that's important about that, for instance, Clearwater is that the culture and the student body probably there more represents what's in your church than what's in a Bible college.
Yeah.
If you think about this is more of a reflection of or a cross section of what our society looks like. Now, when Jason asked the question, that's one of the things. Now, I've been asked by some of the Bible colleges, why didn't you think about teaching on a Bible college? I'm telling you right now, this is the answer, because working on a liberal arts college campus, a Christian liberal arts college, I'm taking a slice, a microcosm, out of the macrocosm of society. Okay, that's what your churches look like. This man works in this area, this woman in this area, this men and women working together doing real life. That's what we're doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
So from a pastor's perspective, how do you view the pastoral's role in relation to this? Because, like, we're sending kids there to the school. What kind of pastoral role and involvement would you envision?
We're doing a couple of things with the pastor's role, the home pastor's role, as well as local pastors. Last week, for instance, we had local pastors meeting for a pastor's luncheon. We're doing more, but we had 20-some pastors there, and we're talking about that those students, while they're going through school, especially from latter freshman, sophomore year on, direct mentorship working in those churches under those pastors. And also then we have communicating, and we will intensify the communication back to home churches. Okay.
So what are you at, what do you think you're really adding to Clearwater that they don't have right now?
A short, good looking, no. What we have on a vice president level, which means in the confines of a president and four or five vice presidents sitting together, you have a theologian sitting at that level now.
Okay.
That's one, which is, as we talk about how we can relate to churches, Tom's question, et cetera, it's already happened in context where I'll say, wait a minute, let me tell you what pastors think on this perspective. I'm coming at it from 11 years pastoral experience. Let me also tell you when we use these terms, this is how theologically we should mm-hmm. approach this subject.
Now,
that's what I bring to the table.
Do you have any visions for the ministerial program down there?
Yes. We have right now an excellent Bible program, and what we're going to do is we're going to continue to add professional PhD degrees to grow, Lord willing, and by God's grace, in starting it fairly quickly. We will, I hate to use the word cherry picking, but we're going to go out, and we are setting sights on men we want to start hiring. To the point where we ultimately would like to see 6 PhDs.
Keep your hands off, buddy.
6 PhDs, and we also have D-mins. And so we grow a Bible faculty like this. Now, what that will enable us to do is perhaps have a large Bible faculty. We did that also. It's the same model I used in the seminary. We will grow that. It allows those men to write, to do journals. It allows them to go out and consult and minister, but it allows us also to start up some grad programs. Grad programs are not to rival seminaries, but hopefully what we do is want to do some seminary extensions there. But grad programs that will allow area pastors in that part. We cannot, as a seminary, we found it very difficult to reach into Florida and bring students north. They looked at Pennsylvania's north, for crying out loud. And they're talking mid-Atlantic. North is where, when we start talking Greg, that's north. I mean, you know, this is not north. But the point is that we're living.
This is north. Yeah, this is definitely north.
If you take Las Vegas, Nevada, Phoenix, Arizona, and Tampa, Florida, you're looking at the three fastest growing population centers in North America. Hmm. And right now, Tampa is 3 million people in the Tampa region. That's incredible.
If I could sum up Dave Burggraf's heart in one sentence, what would that sentence be?
I don't mean to be coy here, but my theme verse is Matthew 5:16, to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. And that really is that ultimately trying to do something through with the remainder of a life or take a life or all that it's been brought along here. And what you try to do is magnify the Lord how by causing people to fall in love with Jesus Christ. I did not grow up in a Christian home. Mm. And so this is not a sentence, this is a paragraph, but trying to catch people to realize that there is something so fabulous about being a Christian, and everything about that ought to permeate every area of your life.
Amen. Well, our thoughts and prayers are with you. We're excited about what you're going to do at Clearwater.
Sharper Iron is a blog and forum whose mission is to edify Christian brothers and sisters by providing a place to publish and discuss news and ideas from a Christian, biblical, and fundamentalist worldview.